writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. We will conclude our reading at this point. You have been listening, the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 65. You've been listening to a serialized reading of the Bible, the New Revised Standard Version, with episodes presented every morning at 8:15 on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Your reader has been Rosemary. Thank you for listening.
The following program is intended for listeners who are blind, have low vision, or have another print disability, which makes reading, holding a book, or turning a page difficult or impossible. The content is copyrighted by the respective publishers. For more information, please visit us on the web at nfradioreading.org.
Hello, this is Claudia, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading from the November 20th issue of the Challenger Community News on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Buffalo Prenatal Perinatal Network, taking the fight against infant mortality to the streets. Tennis superstar Serena Williams told Elle magazine in 2022 of her harrowing near-fatal experience of birthing her first child. She had a blood clot in her lungs, among other complications. She needed 4 surgeries in total. Not even her superior physical conditioning helped her beat the odds when it came to mitigating the statistically dire averages Black women face regarding maternal health outcomes. Infant mortality rates, defined as the number of deaths per 1,000 live births, in the U.S. hover around 5.6. Closer to home, the New York State Department of Health puts the number for Erie County at 5.2, on par with the national average. But something happens when you break the local number down to ethnicity. For white women in Erie County, the number is 4.6. For Black and Hispanic women, it jumps to a dismal 12.1 and 9.3, respectively. Taking the fight to the streets literally is the Buffalo Prenatal Perinatal Network. Their office is downtown at the corner of Washington and East Tupper. Through the Community Health Worker CHW program, expecting mothers receive regular home visits from a designated advocate. The areas we cover are determined by the rates of preterm births, low birth weight infants, etc. So we really concentrate on the East and West Side, said Lou Ann Brown, president and CEO. The agency's programming commits to supporting mothers for the long haul. It's the whole pregnancy and 2 years after birth. It's the ideal time to work with clients, said Marissa Sanchez Feliciano, Community Health Worker Program Manager. An April 2024 report from the Centers for Disease Control declared that some 80% of pregnancy-related deaths are preventable. Home visits may result in revealing a variety of conditions that may be assessed and addressed that may have otherwise never come to light. A community health worker, for example, may see for themselves that a family is sleeping on the floor, the kitchen cupboards are bare, or perhaps in the middle of January, the apartment is getting by on a space heater, all factors that may impact the maternal health. Her community health worker can refer her to resources she wasn't aware of, like Beds for Buffalo, who make beds for children in need. Without shame, the health worker can tell her about food pantries for immediate relief, maybe even make a run that afternoon, then open her laptop to help determine eligibility for SNAP and get an application started for a more long-term solution. With the trust built between them in that living room, the community health worker could even call her landlord and translate from Spanish to English to advocate for getting the heat fixed. Once those needs are met, it is time to discuss the importance of not skipping prenatal care. The health worker can educate the mother on necessary tests, pregnancy milestones, and help in finding a doctor. Marissa finds that young mothers often overlook their own health. Many women we recruit think that their OBGYN is their doctor and don't realize that they need to find a primary doctor to look after their own issues, she said. Undetected high blood pressure, vitamin deficiency, are things in the mother's health that can have a detrimental cost on the baby. The Buffalo Prenatal Perinatal Network will even arrange for free transportation if that is a stumbling block. Touching all of these variables can tip the scales for Buffalo's Black and Hispanic mothers. The Community Health Workers Program is staffed by women who have gone through the system themselves, explains Marissa. They have had to go through social services, being on assistance. They've gone through a pregnancy in a hospital with people who didn't care about them. They know what it is to come from this community, so I think that's the advantage that we have. The vision for the organization comes all the way from the top down. Marissa left home at 16 and was herself a teen mom. She knows from personal experience the needs and challenges of clients. She's been with the organization for over 30 years. I can see the impact that I am having each day. It is wonderful to see a young woman transition into a person that can advocate for themselves. Luann was enjoying being retired from her position as chief nursing officer at Children's Hospital. She started with BPPN as a part-time volunteer 10 years ago. The longer I worked there, I really loved their mission and the staff, and it aligned with what I had done at Children's. Not leaving out the men, BPPN also offers personal development and parenting education through its Buffalo Fatherhood Initiative. In fact, in partnership with Chase Bank, they're offering a three-part banking and financial skills workshop this coming December that ends with a $25 completion incentive. Mentoring, workforce development, marriage and co-parenting, and even boxing classes are available under the umbrella of this effort. For the full range of BPPN's services to support families, see their webpage at bpn.org or email info@bppn.org. U.S. District Court dismisses federal government's Sanctuary City case against Rochester. On Thursday, November 13th, the U.S. District Court in the Western District of New York dismissed without prejudice the case the federal government, DOJ, brought against the city of Rochester related to its sanctuary city policy. We are pleased with the dismissal of the current lawsuit, said Mayor Evans. The city of Rochester became a sanctuary city in 1986 and remains committed to this resolution. The city intends to continue to fully comply with federal and state laws while vigorously preserving our local autonomy and rights under the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. The federal government's legal challenge took aim at Rochester's 1986 Sanctuary City policy, which was reaffirmed in 2017, as well as two police general orders. The government argued these were unconstitutional. The DOJ claimed the policy violated the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution by preventing local police from assisting federal immigration enforcement. The lawsuit was sparked after Rochester police officers helped federal agents detain three men during a March 2025 traffic stop, an action that violated the city's policy and drew criticism from local officials. While the lawsuit was pending, the city codified its sanctuary city policy into law, effectively hindering the federal government's original legal challenge. Mayor announces Rochester Roots, single-family homes project to expand affordable home ownership in the Josana neighborhood. Earlier this month, Mayor Malik D. Evans announced Rochester Roots, a new affordable homeownership initiative that will bring high-quality, energy-efficient single-family homes to the Josana neighborhood. The project, led by the Rochester Land Bank Corporation in partnership with Rochester's Cornerstone Group, will create 15 new homes on vacant and underutilized parcels to support long-term neighborhood stability and generational wealth building for city residents. The Rochester Land Bank is in the final stages of completing a new strategic plan that emphasizes creative, community-centered solutions to help address this region's housing challenges. Rochester Roots reflects this updated mission by converting long vacant lots into opportunities for affordable home ownership that strengthens neighborhoods and keeps investment in the community. The project is expected to begin in early 2026 and will start accepting applications next summer. Rochester families deserve access to high-quality housing and real pathways to home ownership, said Mayor Malik D. Evans. Rochester Roots builds on the work and success of our Buy the Block initiative and represents the kind of initiative and partnership that will help close the home ownership gap, create stability in our neighborhoods, and build generational wealth for city residents. This project strengthens the Josana community and shows what's possible when we turn challenges into opportunities. The new homes will include a mix of ranch and two-story townhome models, all featuring modern, all-electric heating and cooling systems, porches, and detached garages. One home will be fully ADA compliant, and another will include accessibility features suitable for individuals with hearing or visual impairments. All homes will feature a zero-step entrance, wider main floor doorways, and a main floor half bathroom to improve accessibility for residents and guests. Homes will be available next year to income-eligible buyers earning at or below 80% of area median income, AMI, with a focus on supporting households between 50% and 60% AMI. Buyers must obtain a traditional mortgage and will receive home buyer preparation support, including credit counseling, home maintenance, guidance, and financial education to promote long-term success in home ownership. The homes will carry a 30-year resale requirement to ensure they remain accessible as an affordable home for the coming decades. Funding for the project includes support from New York State Homes and Community Renewal, ESL Foundation, NYSERDA, Monroe County, the Rochester Land Bank Corporation, and the City of Rochester. Rochester Holiday Village opens December 5th. The 7th annual Rock Holiday Village presents 16 days of enchanting festivities from December 5th to December 28th, the Downtown Rochester Festival held at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Park at 353 Court Street, features free ice skating and skate rentals, a unique shopping village, free visits and pictures with Santa, fire pits with outdoor seating, indoor and outdoor bars, handcrafted goods, food trucks, live music, and more. Closed Mondays, Tuesdays, Christmas Eve, and Christmas. So you're MWBE certified, now what? A step-by-step guide to winning government contracts in Monroe County. Many small business owners hustle to get MWBE certified only to find themselves asking, how do I actually get contracts? Who do I talk to? Where do I start? If that's you, then the recent Elevating Enterprise podcast, hosted by Jazzy T, is where you should go to check out Expert Matthew Burrell, who is a supplier and diversity manager for Monroe County. In this live episode, he gives guided steps like 1, understanding what your certification really gets you, 2, how to get on the county vendor list, 3, how to build relationships with the people behind the paperwork. We've had times when the low bidder didn't get the work because they refused to meet the MWBE utilization, stated Burrell. Visit jazzcastpros.com/post/so-u-re-mwbe-certified-now-. What to learn more and tap into the podcast. Jazzcast Pros LLC is an MWBE certified podcast production network in Rochester, New York, specializing in development, editing, and distribution of podcasts. You can also read more on buffchownews.com. Convening of Elders set for December 6th. Speakers at the upcoming convening of the elders include Nate Hare, Sam Radford, Elder Reginald Damon, Pastor Kenny Simmons, Betty Jean Grant, Sis Aya Oyaniki, Karima Amin, and Georgia Postick. The gathering will be held December 6th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 1455 Kensington Avenue. The path to home ownership is the theme of a workshop. The last session in a 3-part Foundation to Legacy series by Scott Realty Group will be held Saturday, November 22nd. Titled The Path to Home Ownership, it will deal with first-time home buyer process, regional-focused loan products, down payment and closing costs, DPCC assistance, credit counseling, and legal representation. The event will be held at the Greater Refuge Temple of Christ, 943 Jefferson Ave, from 11 a.m. to 12 noon. Doors open at 10:30 a.m. Food will be provided. Black History. Africans pioneered basic math. Africans pioneered basic arithmetic 25,000 years ago. The Ishango bone is a tool handle with notches carved into it, found in the Ishango region of the Zaire, now called Congo, near Lake Edward. The bone tool was originally thought to have been over 8,000 years old, but a more sensitive recent dating has given dates of 25,000 years old. On the tool are three rows of notches. Row 1 shows three notches carved next to 6, 4 carved next to 8, 10 carved next to 2 fives, and finally a 7. The 3 and 6, 4 and 8, and 10 and 5 represent the process of doubling. Row 2 shows 11 notches carved next to 21 notches, and 19 notches carved next to 9 notches. This represents 10 plus 1, 20 plus 1, 20 minus 1, and 10 minus 1. Finally, row 3 shows 11 notches, 13 notches, 17 notches, and 19 notches. 11, 13, 17, and 19 are the prime numbers between 10 and 20. The Great Sphinx of Giza. Africans carved the world's first colossal sculpture 7,000 or more years ago. The Great Sphinx of Giza was fashioned with the head of a man combined with the body of a lion. How old is it? In October 1991, Professor Robert Schock, a geologist from Boston University, demonstrated that the Sphinx was sculpted between 5,000 BC and 7,000 BC, dates that he considered conservative. You're listening to a reading of articles and features from the Challenger on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. What we know about the citywide efforts to win an uphill battle against fentanyl. Between July 2024 and June 2025, the east side of Buffalo has experienced an escalating fentanyl crisis, significantly affecting zip codes 14208, 14211, 14212, and 14215. The potency of fentanyl and its frequent presence in other street drugs have resulted in unpredictable and often deadly consequences, impacting individuals across all age groups. Healthcare resources have been stretched thin, while families and entire communities are deeply affected by the epidemic's indiscriminate reach. The severity of the situation has led to urgent calls for comprehensive intervention and sustained support throughout the region. Community response and ongoing challenges. This section examined the ongoing efforts to address the fentanyl crisis in Buffalo's Greater East Side. Early and current initiatives have been led by organizations such as group ministries, which have focused on educational programs and support services designed to combat fentanyl misuse. Despite these efforts, the community continues to face significant challenges, including limited resources, persistent stigma surrounding addiction, and the unpredictable nature of the drug supply. The resilience of residents has been a driving force, underscoring the importance of continued collaboration and advocacy to effectively address this public health emergency, faith-based coalition and harm reduction initiatives. A key development in the community's response has been the formation and growth of a faith-based coalition in Buffalo. Spearheaded by pastors and churches, and in partnership with group ministries, this coalition has established programs aimed at educating, training, and empowering both congregations and the wider community. Initiatives include harm reduction techniques, such as the distribution and use of Narcan, and testing strips. The collaborative, faith-driven approach demonstrates how community outreach and unified action can provide hope, save lives, and create pathways to healing during a public health crisis. Unified community approach and real-life impact. The devastating impact of fentanyl abuse highlights the necessity for a unified, community-centered approach. The Erie County Department of Health, along with local organizations and community leaders, have joined forces to deliver outreach, education, and harm reduction strategies designed to save lives and support those affected by addiction. Personal stories from residents illustrate the power of collective action and compassion in breaking down stigma and fostering recovery. These efforts reinforce the idea that it truly takes a village to confront and overcome fentanyl abuse in Buffalo's East Side. Summary: the East Side of Buffalo has been severely impacted by a growing fentanyl crisis, particularly in zip codes 14208, 14211, 14212, and 14215. Efforts to address the epidemic include educational programs, harm reduction initiatives like Narcan and testing strips, and the formation of faith-based coalition focused on community empowerment. Despite limited resources and ongoing challenges, local organizations, faith leaders, and the Erie County Department of Health are working collaboratively to provide outreach, reduce stigma, and support recovery, demonstrating the importance of unified community action in combating this public health emergency. Part-time positions are now available: outreach workers, aggression replacement facilitator, $20 an hour, 30-hour work weeks. Call 716-313-9175. Kenneth Gaston, Director of Programs. Health Matters, the importance of early screening for lung cancer. You can survive lung cancer. The easiest way to do that, detect it early. Compared to other types of cancer screenings, a test for detecting early lung cancer, a low-dose CT scan of the chest is easy, quick, and painless. No prep required, no blood draw. And you even keep your clothes on. But only a small percentage of people eligible for the test are getting it done. Who should have lung cancer screening? Smokers and former smokers are most at risk for lung cancer. You should get screened for lung cancer if you have these three factors. Age 50 to 79, smoking history of 20 pack years, such as a pack a day for 20 years or two packs a day for 10 years, smoked within the last 15 years. In addition, anyone who has had cancer of the lung, esophagus, head, or neck also should get screened routinely. To help increase the number of people with access to low-dose CT scans for lung cancer, Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center created EDDI, or Early Detection Driven to You, a mobile screening van that travels the state to bring lung cancer screening to neighborhoods where the tests can be hard to find. EDDI is a state-of-the-art lung cancer screening technology on wheels funded by New York State to help more people gain access to a quick, pain-free test that can help save lives. Detecting lung cancer early means a greater number of treatment options are available to a patient. Nobody deserves to have lung cancer. Lung cancer is responsible for more cancer-related deaths each year than breast, prostate, and pancreatic cancer combined. But the early detection methods for lung cancer are not as well known, nor is it talked about as often as those other cancers. Some 80% of eligible women get annual mammograms to screen for breast cancer, and 50% of eligible people receive colorectal cancer screenings by comparison. As more people get screened for lung cancer, we will see this cancer diagnosed at earlier stages, when there is a greater chance of being cured, says Mary Reed, MSPH, PhD, Chief of Cancer Screening, Survivorship, and Mentorship at Roswell Park. Women and black people are at a higher risk of lung cancer and a higher risk of dying from lung cancer. We can change that by getting the word out about lung cancer screening at EDDI. Whether you smoke or have smoked, you deserve to get screened and survive and thrive after lung cancer. That is what we all deserve. Raising domestic violence awareness. Our commitment must continue. Although National Domestic Violence Awareness Month has come to a close, our community continues to reflect on that powerful and inspiring month of awareness, education, and unity. This year marked the third annual Shine the Light Domestic Violence Awareness event held at the beginning of October, an unforgettable day where survivors, advocates, and local organizations gathered at MLK Park to share resources, stories of resilience, and a collective message of hope and healing. Among those who participated was Rosalind Collins, mentor coach, Dr. Vanessa Dunn Gutton from South Carolina, who has partnered with us for the past 3 years. Also the Buffalo chapter of the Association of Black Social Workers, and Tiffany White, Ms. White, who was instrumental in our End Domestic Violence Walk. Ms. White also served as a guest speaker and recently launched her own organization, Alabaster House. In addition, we held our Shine the Light Domestic Violence Volunteer Appreciation Dinner on November 7th. It's crucial to remember that domestic violence does not end when the calendar turns. Every day, individuals and families in our community face abuse and silence, and they need our continued compassion, awareness, and action. We must remain committed to breaking the cycle by supporting survivors, educating others, and promoting safe and healthy relationships year-round. If you or someone you know need help, please reach out by calling Crisis Services, 716-834-3131, Family Justice Center, 716-558-7233. Together, we can create a community where every survivor feels seen, supported, and safe, not just in October, but every single day. 8th Annual Harvest of Hope giveaway to bless 1,000 families. School Board Member-elect Stefan Wright, in partnership with Super Price Chopper's Market and Kingdom Builders Healing House, proudly presents the annual turkey giveaway Saturday, November 22nd at 1 p.m. Super Price Chopper's Market, 1580 Genesee Street. 1,000 turkeys to local families in need will be given away. Ujima Theaters, Straight White Men, an Afrofuturist Look at Privilege and Purpose. Ujima Theater Company delivers a powerful and unconventional statement with Young Gene Lee's Straight White Men, Curtis Lavelle's thoughtful direction transforms this ostensibly simply family drama into a profound, intellectually stimulating theatrical experience. Far from being a traditional critique, Ujima's Straight White Men is an intriguing, often comedic, mind-bending event. It successfully probes complex themes of identity and privilege without being overly prescriptive, inviting the audience into what feels like a philosophical journey, a curious modern-day Twilight Zone episode. Director Lavelle's interpretation is central to the play's impact. He frames the play as an Afrofuturistic social science experiment, a bold choice that resonates deeply with the spirit of questioning established power structures. The audience doesn't just watch a play, they witness a trial overseen by two enigmatic conductors, person in charge number one, Camille, and person in charge number two, Nova Russell, who study a very specific demographic, the straight white middle-class man. This framing gives the work its electric tension and its intellectual weight. It forces an examination of societal roles, power, and contribution. As director Curtis Lavelle explains, this play continues a conversation started by Ujima's last production, The Musical Godspell. If Godspell is the ideal, the utopia of community, Lavelle posits, then Straight White Men ask us, once you are in utopia, what happens when you bring in questions of privilege and power? What happens when you ask yourself if usefulness is enough, is living enough? The plot revolves around the father, Ed, Daniel Greer, and his three adult sons gathered for Christmas, the professor, Drew, Brent Hattrick, the banker, Jake, Nathaniel Higgins, and the youngest, Matt, Connor Graham, a Harvard graduate who has moved home to work part-time and care for his father. The central conflict is the brothers' bewilderment over Matt's choices. Matt finds quiet satisfaction in domestic labor, caring over his dad, and doing nonprofit work. His family, however, operating from a platform of inherited middle-class privilege, cannot fathom this choice. For Ed, Drew, and Jake, usefulness is inextricably linked to status, intellectual achievement, and high income. They view Matt's life, performing the type of caregiving and household work traditionally done by their mother, as a waste of intellect and potential. Their disbelief highlights a crucial class distinction. Privilege often blinds one to the value of non-monetary, non-status-driven labor, especially caregiving and domestic work. It challenges the notion of what defines meaningful contribution regardless of one's background. Playwright Young Jean Lee developed the script after extensive interviews, zeroing in on this middle-class element. The production is a testament to the power of theater to provoke thoughtful dialogue. Director Lavelle, cleanly aware of the complex optics, wanted to challenge both the audience and himself. I was worried about doing this show because I was afraid people would think I was pandering. I wanted to challenge us. I wanted to challenge myself. It's not my story, but it affects me and my people, Lavelle shared. Is it doing more harm than good to have the conversations get stopped at race? This production refuses to stop at the surface. By inviting us to witness this open-ended, compelling, and often funny social experiment, Ujima Theater Company challenges us all, regardless of background, to redefine usefulness and what it truly means to live a purposeful life. Straight White Men runs through November 23rd. For more information and tickets, visit ujimacompanyincorporated.org, 716-322-5178. You've been listening to a reading of articles and features from the November 20th issue of The Challenger. Your reader has been Claudia, and I thank you for listening.
Coming up next in the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service, we have a reading of the Batavia Daily News. Following that at 10 o'clock is the East Aurora Advertiser, and 11 we have the Niagara Gazette. Stay with us for these readings and more throughout the day. You're listening to the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Our volunteer radio readers broadcast daily readings of printed matter to our listeners who are blind or have a print disability throughout Western New York and Southern Ontario's Niagara Peninsula. The Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service has brought nearly 40 years and more than 300,000 hours of radio readings to those without sight. Our broadcast signal is provided at no charge by WNED. For more information, call us at 716-821-5555. Thank you. The following program is intended for listeners who are blind, have low vision, or have another print disability, which makes reading, holding a book, or turning a page difficult or impossible. The content is copyrighted by the respective publishers. For more information, please visit us on the web at nfradioreading.org.
Hello, this is Debbie, and for the next hour, I will be reading from the November 25th issue of the Batavia Daily News on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Our first article, Florida Man Accused of Murdering Brothers, Suspect Captured in Livingston County. A Florida man has been charged with murder after allegedly shooting his two brothers during a dispute at their hunting cabin. State police were alerted 10:06 p.m. Sunday after one of the three brothers called 911 about an unwanted person in the cabin, said Trooper James Callahan. A physical and verbal altercation had occurred, and the caller wanted Scott D. Thompson, the youngest